Welcome back to High Desert Bits. I'm your host, Anita Hoffman. And today we're talking to David DaCosta, founder of Thoroughly Modern Productions. David and I sat down a few months ago, and he's been quite busy since. Rocky Horror, the musical, opened and closed, followed by a successful run of Peter Pan, and he's already working on TMP's next production, Rosie the Riveter. The guy never sleeps. Here's our conversation. Here with David DaCosta, the founder of Thoroughly Modern Productions. Welcome to High Desert Bits.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yay! All right. So tell me, you know, it's funny because you and I have known each other for
a few years now.
Yeah. Like the first thing I ever did with Thoroughly was Cats.
Okay.
And I did the pre-show, Here's What Cats Is About.
Okay.
Because you're going to need it.
Yeah. Right?
Because it was like,
oh, I know.
That's a strange show.
That Space Cadet show.
Yeah.
My wife, funny story, not the biggest Andrew Lloyd Webber fan.
Yeah.
Doesn't dislike him, but just, you know, and people have that taste.
Yeah.
I find you either really love him or you're kind of hate him.
Yeah.
We did Cats and she was like, this is crazy. What is this about? And how are we going to do this? But I talked her into it. And it's her favorite show.
No.
Yeah, it's one. It's like in her top five. She fell in love with the show. Yeah. Loves the music, and so my attitude is, what's not to love about Cats?
Yeah. When did you come to Ben?
So I think it was 2012. Yeah, winter of. I think it was the winter of 2011.
And what was Ben like theater wise? Ben, when you arrived.
So I got here. Actually sent an audition tape to Second Street. We knew we were coming here. We knew we were coming here in April of whatever year it was. I think it was 12. And so I was doing, you know, just investigating research, see, well, what am I walking into here? And found Second Street and they were doing the Who's Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
So I sent them an audition tape and they cast me. So I like literally hit the ground here in November 18th, I think it was. And I think on November 19th, I had rehearsal.
Nice.
So that was my first exposure. And it was them, Beat, CTC, and I think Cat Call.
So tell me about Thoroughly Modern Productions. What's the name about? What was your plan when you decided to start it?
We had been here, I guess it was like 2 years. I was working pretty steady with the folks at Second Street. I'd really ingrained myself there with Sandy and Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
I had directed a show or two for them as well as being in shows. And you know, Mallory and I kind of organically came to the idea that we wanted to kind of start our own company. It felt that there was maybe room, a need for.
Yeah.
It wasn't born out of any animosity towards anyone or anything else. In fact, the first three or four shows we co-produced with Second Street, you know, they were as encouraging of that process as we were. Cause my thing was, is that I had spent the last 5 or 6 years back East. I was doing youth theater. I was directing youth theater there. I was directing youth theater when I met Mallory, and Mallory, part of the reason why she fell in love with me was because she would come and watch how I would work with the kids and that. I worked with a lot of neurodivergent kids and used theater as therapy, and that she was witness to all of that as well. So, you know, she was like, yes, this is, you need to do, this is what you need to do. Just because we're here doesn't mean you can't do it. Let's start our own.
So at the time we were talking about Beat.
Yeah.
CTC maybe had a teen program or didn't.
Yeah.
You had high school theaters that were doing their own things. So there really wasn't.
Not much, and not in the format of what you're doing. You know, Beat being exclusively children, and that was the niche that I was looking in. It was like I wanted to do this hybrid of adult and youth performers.
Yeah.
I want to do shows like The Wizard of Oz, where we have adults playing the classic roles, but you need a supporting cast of 50 kids to play munchkins and monkeys. And there are a lot of shows that fit that template. Yeah. And even outside of that template, I've done things and made things work, you know. So that was kind of the genesis of the idea. Can we do this? Can we do this? So we started to move forward with the idea, and I was working with Gary Fulkerson on Spamalot at the time. That was a Second Street produced show for the Tower Foundation. So that's also where I met Ray for the first time. And so I went to Gary and asked him about helping me get this thing off the ground, starting this theater company. And like everything with Gary, he was all in, you know? And so that became The Wizard of Oz. So we did it at Summit, and we see how it go. We did the theater camp enrollment that led to rehearsals, that led to production. And we did it at Summit, and it was a hit. It was awesome. And so the plan was to do one every summer. That was kind of going to be kind of the goal, and see how things evolve.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't we do one in the winter in February? And my wife was a little apprehensive at first, but then there were people who were involved in Oz that it lit them on fire, and the whole experience and the way it was done, and they helped us out, and we did Beauty and the Beast. Awesome. So those two were at Summit. And then we came back in the summer. This must have been like the summer of 13 or 14, and we did Peter Pan, which we're reviving this year. Mm-hmm. And that was the final show that we did at Summit. It was in the winter of that year that we landed here for the first time with Shrek, the musical. Mm-hmm. And the genesis of it was Wizard of Oz, that plan, branching out, producing on our own, not combined with Second Street, and getting that youth adult format in place, and what I had learned and what I cut my teeth on back east. And those two programs in particular, like I said, we just revived the summer intensive this year, but they're our bread and butter. Thoroughly Modern Productions, one of my wife's favorite shows is Thoroughly Modern Millie. Mm-hmm. And of course, yes. And of course, we have a daughter named Millie. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed kind of logical at the time to just, it had a nice ring to it. It has a nice acronym, I think, kind of rolls off the tongue, TMP. So it's kind of named after that show. It's kind of named after my daughter. Because that's, in the micro, that's what we're doing it for, is for our children, whether they want to be involved or not.
Yeah.
And they all are involved, but in all in varying degrees, which I think is great.
Yeah.
You know, Millie's evolved to more of a backstage, stage. She just stage managed for the first time Mean Girls last year, and is planning on doing more stuff. She's a sophomore now and that, but she's also she's in the Sisters High School production of Adam's Family, you know, so she's still doing on stage stuff and that, which she enjoys and that, but she loves backstage work. Yeah. So yeah, my youngest Silas didn't want anything to do with it at all. And then last winter, we coaxed him, two winters ago, we coaxed him into being in The Little Mermaid. And for someone who wanted nothing to do with it, all I could hear through the wall every night was the entire soundtrack of The Little Mermaid. Nice. So he just did his first full production, not the little cameo, this summer in James and the Giant Peach. Mm-hmm. Which was wonderful. It breaks my heart a little bit because he was just, he's little. So, yeah. and he played James's dad. The story, the mom and the dad get run over by a rhino and all that. Sweet moment. And then he got to be a cut up with all the other roles that he played, Billy Bobby Cop and all that. And that. So we'll see how it continues with him.
So he's hooked.
Oh, he's hooked. He was hooked even before, but that's the way I was. Yeah. I loved theater. I loved to watch theater. I loved to see people perform. I yearned to be there and involved. Yeah. But there was no way I was getting up there.
Yeah.
Especially when I was 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
But it took me being 21 and staring at the wall, having nothing to do, to say, I've got to give this a try and get the courage up to do it.
Yeah.
The antithesis of that is my middle son, Lincoln. He is one of the, he was born with a top hat and a cane, that kid. He loves it through and through, and he's a true theater kid. He loves it, but he has other interests and all as well. So, that's the company is for them, for whatever they want to do with it. And when the time comes, if they want a heavy hand in it, they're welcome to it. If they don't, that's fine too. So we'll see how that goes. But
yeah, that's awesome.
What I learned through the work that I did back east was this. I love the theater because it's a great equalizer, and it's also there's no, you can't take any shortcuts. You can't take any shortcuts, and you don't take any shortcuts not because someone's lording over you, but because you've got 20 to 30 other people relying on you. And that's the message that I've always kind of put out there. When we're in rehearsals, adults and kids, I don't delineate between the two. You're an actor, you're an actor. I don't care if you're 8 or 88.
Yeah.
You have the same responsibilities on my stage as far as I'm concerned. In fact, I wind up telling the adults more, if you behave like children, I'll treat you like children.
Yeah.
So, I love that it is. It's about as egalitarian an institution as you can find. And on this level, all you need to bring to it is a passion. If you bring a passion to it, I will find a place for you. That's why in our youth programs, we don't have any audition. I mean, we have auditions, but not to join.
Yeah.
It's open enrollments. You just come. You want to be a part of it? Sign up. You're in.
Yeah.
I don't need to audition you to. I've talked to everybody from parents with 5 and 6 year olds to parents with 14, 15 year olds who've never done anything, and everything in between about getting involved and that. And I'm proud to say, and it's not just me; it's the whole community. Quite frankly, all of those conversations have borne fruit for years and years and years with a lot of them. They keep coming back and they keep getting involved and some grow and move on to other things, and some grow and thrive and have gone on to school and theater beyond Bend here and that, and it's all just wonderful to see. And that's kind of what our goal and our purpose is to really create that environment for everybody to grow, from directors that this is our 11th season, and now we're talking about some of the people who have made their way through and all. It's like Scott Michelson. Mallory was doing, when we first moved here, was doing a production of Spitfire Grill at CTC.
Yeah,
and she was tapped to play violin for that, and they were looking for someone to play keyboards. I don't know the set of circumstances, they either had one or didn't have one, or the music director wasn't a keyboard player, blah blah blah. So she found Michelson, and she comes back from the first rehearsal and she's like, David, we got to get this guy because he's a genius. I mean, he's a literal genius on the piano.
Yeah.
He knew nothing about musical theater at all. But like happens to most people, all you got to do is one, and then you're hooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we started a dialogue with Scott and the Heat, and we got him on board. And Scott was our music director. In fact, Cats may have been one of the last shows that he directed before he. I mean, now he is. I'm sure you know. I mean, Scott's a professional music director. Yeah. You know, we played a small part in that. You know, I mean, he was going to be a professional music director. Yeah. He's going to be a professional musician no matter what.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is. He's at Coeur d'Alene. He's in Florida. He's all over the place. He's got a great reputation and deservedly so.
Yeah.
Because he is a genius. You know. So we were very blessed to find him and have him involved the first few years. And
yeah, look at you dropping seeds everywhere.
Well, I mean, yeah. Again, you know, we cross paths. I look at it this way. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
We're here for, you know, in some cases we're looking for people and we find them, they find us, whatever it is, you know, and I just want to provide a crucible, you know, where you just bring everybody in and have this thing there to let them do what they do and discover themselves and find what they are and then, you know, go.
Yeah.
Go. And you know, it's 11 years now. So it's like we went through a period in the last couple of years where it was a lot of exodus, you know. Mm-hmm. Scott left and Dakota left. Clara left, you know.
Yeah, because life happens and people.
Life happened, exactly. Yeah. But then we started to get like the occasional kid who was coming home for the summer from, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Clara finished school and came back.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, she's stage managing two or three shows for us a year now. Yeah. And now directing. She directed last year, is going to direct again this year. Yeah. You know, so that's the beauty of it, too, is that we not only have a place where you can learn and live and grow, but then you can go away and then you can come back. You know, and I'm hoping there'll be more and more of that along the way. I'm sure there will be. Well, another one, Aaron Bartz. So I remember Aaron was a dancer in high school and that, and she is obviously still a dancer. She may have done one other production with us, but I know for certain she did our teen show when we did the Chorus Line Teen Edition before she headed off to school. And then she's another one who she finished up school this year or is taking a break from school this year. Came back for the summer to do Joseph, not to do Joseph, but got involved in Joseph. And I just asked her to choreograph Peter Pan for us. And she just said, yes, you know? So it's like, you know, it's that thing. Max Fulkerson, another example. We were just talking about it last night at the read through for Rocky Horror. He's going to play Brad for us in that.
Right.
And so we went around the table and we're introducing ourselves and that. And he finally mentioned that he was in our production of our first production of the Wizard of Oz. He was the fireball. That was his role. So when the witch shoots the fire out of her broomstick. Yeah. So instead of real fire, which you can't do on Central Oregon stages, right? I had a child was the fireball. Yeah. So it was hilarious.
Yeah.
He had this little fire suit on and he'd come in next to the witch in that scene and she'd shoot the thing and he'd run up and jump on the scarecrow. So he was, you know, he was, I know this is audio, but he was 3 feet tall. Yeah. Then now he's 7 feet tall, basically for all practical purposes.
Yeah.
And he just music directed Seussical for us last summer, Joseph this summer. And now he's going to MD Peter Pan.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing it for.
Yeah, so this is a crucible of talent to move and change and get people into the spots that they need to be in.
Yep.
That's awesome. So tell me about your last show of the season, Rosie the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter. So Marilyn Mangus, say a 40-year veteran Disney Imagineer.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing woman. Wow. Talk about, I mean, she walked in when we first met and we sat down and we talked and I was just, I got emotional about it because it was like, not that I'm always open to learn. I might be 54, but emotionally I'm like 13, to be honest with you. But you don't expect at 54 to have someone walk in and immediately provide wisdom, immediately say, immediately show and say, this is someone I can learn a lot from.
Yeah.
I guess you have to be open to that at 54 too.
Yep.
But it was just amazing that we connected. So we did, she needed to do a stage reading really quick of these two shows that she's involved in crafting, Rosie the Riveter and Casey at the Bat. Okay. So in about 4 weeks time, I think it was, we pulled 26. It started out as she needed 12 people to play dual parts in both shows, turned into 26 people with live music. for this stage reading, which she had about 70 people come out for. It was super fun. It was a lot of work in a short amount of time, which I think everybody respected that and actually valued that. Good. And we did it. And, you know, I personally fell in love with the Rosie the Riveter story, the music, excuse me.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a jukebox musical. So she doesn't have to worry about the writing of it. We'll need to transpose it and things like that. Sure. But, you know, unlike Casey, where those are original songs and you have to get all those people involved and everything else, this is straight up. You pay for the rights. If even half of them are probably public domain, quite frankly, half of the music, this is the Army, Mr. Jones. I don't think you have to pay the rights for that, yeah. So, but the story's there, you know, story's really solid and really there. So when I signed on to help her, you know, she's like, listen, David, I don't have a lot of resources or anything. I'm like, I don't want a thing from you. I don't want a single thing from you. She even had to coax me to play a part in the thing. I didn't even want to do that. I just wanted to be a part of the process, have TMP's name attached to it with her and learn from her and just be involved in another from the ground up kind of thing. That's what I love. So she kept hounding me about it. And I said, look, if anything, right, if just give me first shot at one of these, you know, when we're done.
Awesome. Okay.
And we finished up and I said to her, yeah, let's do Rosie. I'm all in. We have to. I have a slot at the tower in the late spring. So we don't have to worry about a venue. We're a production company. It's what we do. I trust her implicitly, you know, from the short time that we spent together, and she's just a pro's pro, you know. Nice. I mean, she was we're in the middle of rehearsals we're in the middle of auditioning people, and she had to leave for a week to go to New York because she's directing the Christmas spectacular at Radio City Music Hall.
Okay.
Nice. Then she comes back and we finish the casting, and then she left for two more weeks to go to somewhere in the Midwest. She was doing the opening ceremony for a new Six Flags theme park somewhere in Kentucky or Illinois or somewhere in the middle of the country. And then came back and we put up Rosie. This woman's like 78 years old.
Yeah.
And just, man, she runs circles around me for sure. You know, and I'm in pretty good shape these days. So, and I still think she'd outlast me. So it just, you know, that to be involved and learn from, and just a great human being.
That's awesome.
It's somebody worthy spending my time with, you know, altogether. And telling that story.
And is that's the last show of your season?
That will be the final show of the season. Yeah.
At the tower. Awesome.
Yep.
You are so busy.
Yeah.
Holy man.
Yeah.
Holy man. Hey, so tell me, what's the best part of your job? There's a lot of good parts. Like, if you could hone it down to like one or two, what are the best parts of your job?
Well, at the end of the day, you know, when we finish up and wrap up a show, I have a unique perspective on that. I get to see everybody. Of course, I have the next two or three shows on my mind. I'm already knee deep into most of them. But even when from going back 34 years now, right, when I started doing this, when that group of people, and sort of by proxy, their families or people that are close to them or that are involved and know what goes into all these things, everybody comes together, you know, for just that singular moment in time. And it'll never happen again.
Yep.
It had never happened before.
Yep.
But each time, you know, I don't want to get kitschy with it, but it is magical.
Oh, and there's that ephemeral art where it's there, and if you didn't make it, you didn't get your butts in the seat.
Right.
You lost that.
You missed
chance.
It. You missed the chance.
Yeah, that's
you know,
beautiful.
And that's what drives me all the time. And when I'm out here on a loading dock in February and praying number one that all the deliveries have been made if it's a Monday morning so that I can get our trucks in,
right?
And two, hoping that it's not snowing or raining.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind it being 20 degrees out because we're sweating anyway getting these shows in. You know, when I'm in those moments, that it's the thought of that that's what drives me. I don't even give it a second thought because I know what we're doing, you know. I know what it's going to lead to. So, that idea, and then this, what we were talking about, to have someone like an Abby Busch or an Alex Dennis, who we got when they were 6 and 7 years old, and I just sent them all off in the last 2 years here, both on to college. They were student choreographers for us. They were both in our quote unquote adult shows in their junior and senior years. And that, just to come full circle with those kids, and then hoping and wishing and praying and probably maybe sort of will come back, and like Clara's come back. Like Aaron is coming back, and
bringing their experiences
exactly
to enrich
right.
the program.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I pride ourselves on the people and the talent and the families that we get involved. If there was a third one I could sneak in there, it would be that family piece. We created it as something for our family.
Mm-hmm.
And I will knock down walls and whatever I need to do. If there's a family member if a kid signs up and their dad wants to do it and has never been on stage, you're in, man. Let's figure it out, you know? And not like you're in, come help me lift all these set pieces in kind of thing. You're in, get on stage have this experience with your kids.
Yeah.
And we've been blessed to have a lot of those. We've had a lot of families involved in doing things, and that's the payoff. That's what we're doing it for. So
what do you want? What do you want patrons to know about Thoroughly Modern Productions to help you out with making this have another 11 years, another 50, 11 years.
The first thing I would say, honestly, to patrons over the years, and we have been extremely blessed. I mean, we're well supported.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that come to see our shows who live in Burns, who live in Eugene, who live in Portland and beyond all those places, you know, some connected to families. Some I had, I think it was for Little Mermaid 2 years ago. They were just in town and they saw that Little Mermaid was playing and they came and they saw it. And the woman wrote me a note and a letter about how just an incredible experience it was and what they weren't expecting. And we're coming back and we're coming back frequently. She wanted to put us on notice for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have such an incredible following. Parents and families alike. My only plea to them is just keep coming.
Yeah.
Keep supporting what we're doing. If I had any message to patrons and that, and I'm sure most of them do understand this, is that really take a hard look at what goes into these, you know, what it takes. Ask questions. If you've got a family member who's involved, ask them, you know, what the experience was like, you know, the late nights,
mm-hmm.
the tears at auditions,
the stress
of the week,
the release of getting things done.
Right. But also the opportunities, you know, Richard Choate, Molly Tennant, Gary Fulkerson, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
These people in their own right are, I've always said this, maybe it's a cop-out, I don't know. I've always said this, a mark of a professional artist is not their paycheck.
Right.
It's what they've dedicated their life to. That's what makes you a professional. If you're in this game because you can't see yourself not doing it, you know, then in my estimation, you're a professional. I don't even really care how talented you are. Talent's subjective, right? So those opportunities for these kids and other adults as well to work with people like that. You know what I mean? Gary's an artist, the true artist. He's got his own band and everything else. Him and I are working on a project, a film project together. You know, Molly Tennant has kind of traveled the world as a performer, professional. But Lindsay Nickerson, you know, I mean, she downplays her experiences, but she did years at Disney as a character and that, and she played Peter Pan on tour and all. And there are many, many others. Matt Wilson, who was our Billy and Daddy Warbucks, Billy in Chicago, Daddy Warbucks. He's an Emmy award winning sports film editor. You know, he's in show business, you know, and there are other stories like that as well. Yeah. You know, people who've gotten involved. When we did Cats, Dakota somehow found this woman, or she found us. She had just completed a cruise ship. She was on a cruise ship choreographing Cats, and she was docked for this period of time, found out that we were doing this, came, reached out to Dakota and was like, would you like someone to come in and give you the Broadway choreography for this? And we were like, how much is that going to cost? Yes, well, let's do it. You know, and we brought her in. I mean, that was just like, you know, again, talk about things just, you know, falling. That always tells me we're doing the right thing. When we have those moments, those things happen. I never worry about who we're going to find. I never worry about filling roles. I never worry about, knock on wood, the weather. Because I just think, you know, I think that God is on our side with those things because we're doing the right thing.
Nice. Yeah. Right. People want to get a hold of you.
Yes.
How are they going to find you? What are your socials?
So Facebook. Okay. And at TMP Bend on Instagram. Those are the two primary ones. Okay. I'm working on our TikTok. So again, being 54, that's not my game.
That is the perfect age for learning.
And then tmpbend.com is our website. Good. Facebook is usually the best place, but at least that website, you can contact us now. Okay. So cool. That's the best way to get all. Yeah, no, thank you.
I'm so glad we've covered a ton of ground here.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's awesome.
A lot of stuff.
That's awesome.
Cool.
All right, people, do your job. Butts in theater seats.
Yeah.
Come see a show.
Thanks for listening to this episode of High Desert Bits. You can learn more about David and TMP by checking out their Facebook and Instagram or on their website, tmp-bend.org. Plus, you can find more episodes and keep up with our show calendar on highdesertbits.com. And follow along with us on Instagram as we get our butts into some theater seats. Do your bits.